Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by C.J. Vogel of On Texas Football. C.J., we're going to talk a little Longhorn football here in Talkin' Ball, brought to you by our friend John Donovan at Longhorn Wealth Management Group. C.J., first off, the reason I wanted to talk today and you and I are getting together is ESPN came out with its top 10 running backs for next year. Jonathan Brooks was nowhere to be found on that list last year in the preseason. Of course, after Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson both had all of the carries the previous year, it's understandable. It's a little bit different this year in that both Cedric Baxter and Jaden Blue have some returning value that people are aware of, but neither of them and the Texas running group as a whole, not among the top 10 right now. I don't know if it's cause for outrage. I'm not one of those guys that kind of fakes outrage. I don't think that's what it is really about for me here. What I wanted to do with you today is really talk about where we think they might should be ranked in real, and are they realistically a top 10 group by the end of this year? Right now, they may not be if you really look at it on the surface. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, right now, I think going into the year, you probably had the same argument a year ago to your point about Jonathan Brooks. You know he's a talented running back. You've seen spurts in the past, but when it comes to him being the guy, how does he relate to some of the best backs in the country? I think it's fair to tap the brakes in that regard, and I think that's similar to what we'll see in 2024, where coming into the year, the Texas running back group under Tashard Choice might not be seeing the love it probably deserves. But if you go back and you look at the yards and the production from 2023, does it really strike you as a top 10, top 15 running back room? Only 1,050 yards and 8 touchdowns between Blue and Baxter coming back. There's a number of guys that we'll see and talk about later on that had that by themselves in that room that they'll have in whatever respective program that we're going to be talking about here coming up. But I think by the end of the season, you'll certainly see these two guys, certainly rise up into that top 10 category. I think by the end of the year, Texas will be looking at a top 5 running back duo. I think the combination of the lightning and thunder between Blue and Baxter will certainly, shine on the stat sheet. You'll see the big time run plays with Jaden Blue specifically. He had almost 15% of his carries last year go for 15 plus yards. So that alone is very encouraging. And we know that CJ Baxter is coming into his own, had a good spring. By the end of next year, I think you'll see this group, comfortably inside the top 10. Right now, like you said, not too much of a reason for outrage, more so just a conversation of where they can grow.
Yeah, I think this is a good point. I'm going to go over the stats real quick from last year. CJ Baxter, obviously the starter against Rice and Alabama. Rice, 138 for 659 last year, 5 TDs, 24 catches out of the backfield. That's a lot of catches. That's 150, 160 touches for a true freshman. And then you have Jaden Blue, 65 carries, 398 yards, 3 TDs. He really didn't start touching the ball until after Jonathan Brooks got sidelined. He got involved a little bit, but not much. 14 receptions were for 135 and 1 TD. That reception total, he almost averaged 10 yards a catch last year. Compared to what Cedric Baxter was around seven yards a carry. Then you add Trey Weiser in there, 12 carries, 73 yards, 1 TD as well. All in all, it's a Longhorn team that has different pieces, but my concern, and I think the concern of some Longhorn fans is they have it in the aggregate. They may not have it individually. CJ Baxter, for example, may be that guy that can bulldoze people in the middle, but does he have the speed really to break a long run? Jaden Blue, you just mentioned his issues. 15% of his runs went for 15 yards or more. That's great, but what about those other runs? Too many 1 yard, 2 yard gains, maybe up the middle. Weisner, maybe a little similar to Blue in the regard that he's not a real run up the middle type of guy that can carry the ball between the tackles. My take on this is I think they have it in the aggregate. I worry that they don't have it in the individual. We talk about Baxter. Let's start with him and a little bit more in depth, I guess. Your questions and concerns as it relates to Baxter as well.
Well, with Baxter, it's all about staying on the field. You know, we saw those nagging injuries early his freshman campaign. We know that he's a talented running back. He was, you know, the quote-unquote starter coming out of fall camp as a true freshman. That's very impressive, especially doing so over who ended up being the first running back taken in the 2024 NFL draft. That should give you an understanding of how talented he is. Now, I think that he put on good weight. He refined his body a little bit, toned up, added good weight in good areas. And to me, that's the lower body and that's the shoulders where he'll be taking a lot of his hits in the fall. Can he stay on the field? If so, I think you have a three down back with CJ Baxter. Luckily, he doesn't need to be that guy. And Jaden Blue actually made a pretty interesting point earlier this spring in his media availabilities. Yeah, we talk about it all the time. We know the shelf life for running backs isn't what it used to be. And for us, it's great that everybody in that room is eating, basically. We want each other to do well. We don't want to be out here taking 40 touches, 35 touches, like some of the running backs that we saw a year ago. I'm looking at Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State, a guy who touched the ball seemingly every play for the Pokes. But they talk about it in that room. And right now, as long as CJ Baxter's on the field, I think you'll see him slow down a little bit with his cuts. I think you'll see him diagnose the blocks in front of him, because that's a freshman flaw a little bit for running backs, Bobby. They get the ball and they just want to go, because that's what they did in high school. You know, it's one of those things that takes a long time for these guys to understand the blocking schemes at the college level. It took Jaden Blue a while. And I think until last year, specifically towards the back half, when he started getting more and more of those reps, he got more comfortable. He let his blocks set up before jumping into the hole or, you know, bouncing it to the outside. That's where I think you'll see CJ Baxter really develop and take his game this fall.
Yeah, I think that you're right. Patience and then go. He didn't seem to have a good feel for that a year ago when he was trying to get to the hole. Now, at the same time, a lot of people saw what he did in the spring game, Cedric Baxter, and said, hey, he's got a chance to be physical. He literally laid out three different Longhorns on a single play. So that physicality running the football, he's got a chance, you know. And so will we see it as it goes forward? You know, I think that's a good possibility. We're going to get to Jaden Blue next and talk about him. 65 carries, like I said, 398 yards. Three TDs, big play written all over him. I talked with one person who attended a spring practice this year, and they said that Jaden Blue is the one guy on that entire offense that when he gets it, you better be a little worried about your defense. Because if you make one mistake, it could be 80 the other way. What do you make of that? And how does Sark manage that with maybe he's not can't do as much on the interior like Sark likes to?
Well, luckily, Sark loves getting his running backs the ball in space. He's talked about right. It. That's the biggest mismatch that he can find on an offense, on a given situation down, personnel look. It's his running backs in space. And I think that's where you'll see a lot of damage from Jaden Blue. You know, it'll be the outside zone. It'll be those kind of swing, check down passes or screen looks to Blue out of the backfield. And we saw it in the spring game, Bobby, with that Texas route that he beat a safety on and went, you know, seamlessly up the middle of the field for about 40 yards for a score. He has great hands. And luckily, that's been a characteristic of the entire Texas running back room so far, is these guys are dual threat guys out of the backfield. They can hurt you up the gut or they can make plays out wide. Jaden Blue, I would argue, has the best group or best hands of any running back Texas has had under Sarkisian. Not named Bijan Robinson. I think the two of them are very close. Bijan, again, a very, very, very special football player. Jaden Blue, seeing him in 7-on-7 back in his high school days, he looks like a natural slot guy at times, and I think that's encouraging. But to the point we made earlier, averages over 6 yards per carry, averages a first down about 15% of the time that he rushes the ball, only on about, 70 rushing attempts a year ago. So it's not like he was – He wasn't getting the ball a ton, but we saw those yards stack up, and that's encouraging to me. Now that he has that extra year of spring football, those extra reps, time to develop, I think we're in for another big year, and I think you'll see him as a guy that will take full series, full possessions, whereas a year ago he was probably a third down guy at best towards the back end of the year. We didn't see him too much on the field at the time. I think now that role will certainly expand, and you'll start seeing what is one of the fastest players in college football with Jaden Blue start making plays on a consistent basis.
Talk about the younger guys next, but first I want to say thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John's a proud UT grad, and shares his Longhorn passion with his wife and six siblings, all of whom are also UT grads. John wants to offer everyone a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth Management can serve you and your loved ones. Please give John and his team a call at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net. Longhorn Wealth desires to serve all Longhorns and their loved ones by providing them with the best in life, disability, and long-term care insurance solutions, as well as promising, but good, solid financial advice all the way through to ensure a protected and successful financial future for all of you and your families. Again, 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net. All right, the young guys, CJ, are important here to mention. Trey Wisner got a lot of run, not just in the spring game, but late last year he had 12 carries for the season. But he looked fantastic when he got a chance. Even Steve Sarkisian said, look, Trey Wisner, when he got a chance, he ran. He ran really hard and ran really well. You know he's going to have a role on special teams, but mightn't he have a role similar to Keelan Robinson this year and be that replacement for the Longhorns if they were to ever go like a pony package with two running backs that can also get out and go like a year ago? I mean, I feel like that's a possible role for Trey Wisner as he waits his turn behind Jaden Blue.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that athleticism that we saw in high school, both at Waco Connolly and DeSoto, is going to stand out again this year. Of course, freshman running backs at this level, it takes some time. And I thought I was really impressed with what we saw from Trey Wisner, specifically against Texas Tech. And it was the running up the gut, which is kind of that concern that we've had with Jaden Blue and Trey Wisner. Can he do it? I think he's got some wiggle up the gut. He's not getting hit square by defenders. You know, more times than not, if he's coming head-to-head with another linebacker or defensive end and up the middle of the field, they're hitting him on the side. So he's falling forward, which is very encouraging for a guy that's not as big as many people think. Trey Wisner, not the biggest frame, but he's a good athlete, and he falls forward more times than he doesn't. That's a good trait that you have in the running back room and something that pays off after 5, 6, 7, 8 carries. Those yards will certainly start lining up or adding up. We saw it with Jonathan Brooks a year ago. That he was always falling forward, very impressive stuff. But to your point about the Keelan Robinson role, that athleticism from Trey Wisner, a guy who at Waco Connolly in the playoffs had over 220 rushing yards and 20 tackles as a safety. I mean, this guy plays football. So with the ball in his hands, he's going to find a way to make big plays. We saw it in the spring with the two-back package, whether it be C.J. Baxter in the backfield and Trey Wisner coming across as kind of a motion, an orbit motion or jet motion. He was on the field kind of creating that mismatch that we saw at times in the pony package. I see a role in that Keelan Robinson role like we saw a year ago for Trey Wisner this upcoming fall. And I do think he will be an impact guy. How much of it will we see? I think that depends on how effective and efficient Jaden Blue and C.J. Baxter are. But he certainly has a role carved out for him coming up for the fall.
Yeah, it's clear that Steve Sarkisian likes him too. You can just hear from the way he talks about him in press conferences, et cetera. Let's talk about the two younger guys, Jarrett Gibson out of Florida, as well as Christian Clark out of Arizona. Interesting players, both of them. Somewhat similar in that they're both stockier running backs. Gibson may be actually straight out faster and more of a downhill running back, whereas Clark looks like he has really terrific feet in the hole and good hands out of the backfield too.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because I'm sure both of those guys were looking at their spring game film thinking, man, I wish I would have had, an opportunity behind the top offensive line, as most of those running backs do think back in their first scrimmage, of course, in front of fans. But I think we saw a little bit of glimpses for each of them. And I know they didn't break anything free, but the reports we heard out of spring is that, they'd certainly have their moments. And I think that's encouraging early on. For Christian Clark, the lower body, it's funny. Both of them have great frames. They can both carry about 220 at the moment. A little bit different in where that weight's distributed. Christian Clark, lower body looks like Saquon Barkley almost. Upper body for Jarrett Gibson, on the other hand, and it looks like he's been in a bench pressing, you know, he's been in the gym waiting for the summer to come around so he can pop the top at the beach and get all the ladies to ooh and ah over him. That's where I think their bodies are a little bit different right now, but they do have similar running styles, and you get them running between the head there, between the tackles there, they can make some hay there. And I like what you said about Christian Clark, because I think his one cut ability is really special. He will plant his foot on an outside zone scheme and get up the field, and he does so very well. That was some of the reason why I heard some Bijan 2.0 rumblings out of Arizona. I know that's an easy comparison to make, but when you see the cutting ability and the balance of Christian Clark in action, then you start understanding why the comparison is being made more so than just the next top running back out of the state of Arizona.
Yeah, I look at it all, and I just think that those two guys are balls of clay right now, that we don't know what they're going to end up until they really get into the system, start seeing more and more of them, and how Sark is going to try to find some time for them here and there, you know, because they've got to get some time, just like Trey Wisner last year, got a little taste of it, you know. How is he going to do that when there's a lot of mouths to feed? Sark has a way of doing that, and we'll probably know more about them midway through this season than we will having seen them in the spring game. A couple of thoughts here as we look at the totality of the team. I wanted to ask you two questions: strengths and weaknesses of this group, in your opinion. So both strengths and weaknesses. And then how do they compare based on the rest of the SEC? Because I know, like, the list that had the top 10 running backs that ESPN did, Donovan Edwards was on it from Michigan. So Texas plays at least one of those guys in non-conference. But what about the SEC guys? Strengths and weaknesses, and then SEC.
Yeah, I think the big playability is the strength. You know, we know what you have in Jaden Blue. We saw CJ Baxter have some big moments. You know, his first big carry in his first game went for about 32 before he got dinged up. I think he actually got dinged up on that play. Obviously, he had the 4th-and-1 touchdown against Kansas State at home. So you see the glimpses of him, you know, hitting the home run, you know, hitting it out of the park, where we didn't see it consistently, at least, but we saw the little spurts. We know about it. Behind this offensive line is going to be a strength this year. That will be a recurring theme for me with this running back group. Of course, I think with Jaden Blue, anytime he touches the ball, I think he's a candidate to take it to the house. I think that's just the football player that he is. And when Trey Wisner has some similar characteristics in his game as well. So the big playability is a strength for me. Pass pro, that's a big question mark for me. Jaden Blue, not a big guy. Young running back in CJ Baxter. Can he be reliable? We saw it with Jonathan Brooks a year ago, a third-year guy with a big frame on him. He was able to sit in there and take some shots from blitzing linebackers and chipping off the edge. Roshon Johnson was tremendous at it. Bijan never really added that to his bag of strengths. But he did have those moments where you're like, okay, I see him taking the improvement. That's going to be a big concern for me with this group, especially if Texas is going to have two running backs on the field at a time. If you add in the two tight end look as well, one of those running backs is going to have to sit in there and chip. That's a concern. Where do they sit in with the big SEC boys? I think they're kind of in that top four right now. I look at Ole Miss. I love what they have at Ole Miss. Of course, Logan Diggs, former SMU running or Notre Dame running back, Ulysses Bentley up there. They combined for about 1,200 yards a year ago. They're really impressive. I like what Georgia has. They added Trevor Etienne, the former running back of Travis Etienne, the brother. He transferred in from Florida. Of course, Alabama's going to have some talented running backs, but Rocket Sanders at South Carolina now. That's a familiar name. Texas saw him in 2021 at Arkansas. About 2 years ago, he had 1,400 yards in a single season. So if he's fully healthy, that South Carolina running game, I think, is going to be a big threat. I look at him as another guy that could sneak up on some folks later as the SEC gets going.
Interesting. A couple of guys that it's going to be interesting, because we would think that the SEC will have better running backs overall than the Big 12. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. My strengths, you mentioned big playability. I think that they're pretty well-rounded and can address just about any weakness an opposing defense has. So if you want to get out in space, you've got Jaden Blue and Trey Wisner. If you want to try to beat them up the middle, you've got Cedric Baxter. So Texas has versatility there, yeah, and they can catch the ball. So I think it's not just big playability as much as it is versatility of the running back group as a whole. So I think that's one of them. Mine is similar to pass protection, but not quite pass protection. It's ball protection. Mm-hmm. And so while, you know, pass protection means your quarterback doesn't fumble as much, perhaps with a blindside hit or on a sack, something like that, I'm actually worried a little bit with both Blue and Baxter fumbling the ball. Because not only did we see that a little bit last year, especially against Washington, we heard about it in spring ball, too, a little bit. And so those two were the ones that we heard fumbles from. And so if they're going to be your two guys and you know the SEC is coming, which is a little bit more rough and tumble, I'm concerned about that at all. I agree with you, though. Top five, top four, top three, four, five, six in the SEC, which frankly makes it probably a top 10 to 12, 14 running back group in the country. That's another thing we're going to have to get used to, CJ. When we say Texas has a top three wide receiver group in the SEC, people are like, what? Only top three? Well, that may be top five in the country.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's – so when I say top four, you say top four or five, that may be top 15 in the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just the way it plays in that conference right now. All right, that's going to do it. We want to say thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. If you're looking for a certified financial planner with loads of experience, more than three decades helping people figuring out how to save for retirement and build wealth and minimize taxes at the same time, give John a shout, 972-707-4900. That's 972-707-4900. All right, CJ, for CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been Talking Ball on this Monday. Hook 'em.